Let me start out with this little story that will help you to get into our lesson. And it's about some men in the... This goes back to my early days and your early days when you went in a waiting room when your wife was about to give birth. They never let you get in to see the women at that day and that time. So we had to sit in the waiting room, and then they'd come announce to you that the baby had been born. And now it's everybody and his brother can come in, but I don't know that that's good, but they didn't ask me in the first place, so that's all right. They don't ask me a lot of things. Isn't that strange? Oh, well. But a nurse comes in, and to the first father, she says, "Sir, I am happy to tell you that your wife just gave birth to twin daughters." And he was so excited. He said, "Well, that's great. I work for the Double Cola building or bottling company, and I'll just use that." And so pretty soon the nurse returns, and she finds the second father and says, "Sir, I'm happy to tell you that your wife just gave birth to triplets." And the father said, "Well, that's something. I work for the Double Cola bottling company." And so pretty soon the nurse returns, and the second father says, I'm just happy about this with triplets and everything." And then finally she is leaving, and she hears a thud on the floor, and she turns around and she asks him, what's wrong with him?" And they said, "Well, I don't know, but he was telling us that he works for 7-Up Company." Well, you get the story, don't you? It's Happy Father's Day, isn't it? Not all of us are blessed to have a father. But I was. There were 6 of us children. I was the last. But I appreciated my dad more as I grew old than I did in younger days. You know, we always felt like we knew more than mom and dad. And it was hard for us to calm down and realize that maybe that's not true. I wish I'd have had more time with my dad. I was out preaching the gospel here and there. But he was at home, and he worked in a factory, a very mediocre job. But he worked and he worked and he worked. He was an elder in the church where I was brought up. And he began to grow old. And I never did get to see him as much as I wanted to, for I was up in Maryland and he was down in Tennessee. But nevertheless, I appreciated him and wished that I had been able to ask him more questions than I had. My dad fought in World War I, and that interested me until I have quite a library of books on the First World War. And I'm getting to that age where Dad almost died, and I've got to find somebody that wants a lot of books about World War I. And if you know of somebody that's interested in that, I really have enjoyed, and it's amazing the things that you can learn. But my father had a great impact upon me, and I appreciated all that he and mother did. The Bible tells us that God is not a respecter of persons. Isn't that good? Acts 10, verse 34. There are just some things that godly man have been honored in his word. You remember Enoch, he walked with God. Abraham was a friend of God. David was a man after God's own heart. Job was a blameless and upright man who feared God and shunned evil. Jesus said of John the Baptist, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater. And of Jesus himself, God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Where are these kind of men today? Do you know? We look around in a lot of our congregations and there's more women than men. We hear more from the female than we do the male. A lot of men are not interested. They say, you go on to church with mom. I'm all right here. What's wrong with this? Where are men who used to walk with God? And those elders and those men of ancient times, I stand amazed that I had the privilege to hear some of them speak and to hear some of them come to our churches and to bring forth the Word of God like I'd never heard it before. We were blessed to come out of a little schoolroom into a big building, and now they have 300 or 400 members there in Johnson City. It's because they've worked hard. But in those days, there were men who walked with God. There were men who are friends of God, who find fault and favor in the eyes of God, the man after the heart of God. Now more than ever, we need those men in our congregations. Many a time I have seen a man punch the wife and say, you do it. You know, I can't do that. Men, you can. Men, you can do it. Please turn in your Bibles, if you will. We're going to be in the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. That's easy to find, isn't it? And you know how? When you find 2 Timothy, you can come back to 1 Timothy. I'm filled with great wisdom here. So says Bill. But what does he know? Anyway, 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we'll pick up at verse 11 if you're ready. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold, he says, on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment with spot blameless until the Lord Jesus appears. Paul and Timothy had a great special bond between the two. I wish I could have learned more about Timothy as a young man, a young preacher, and this older man, our beloved apostle Paul, who sort of took him under his wing and began to help him and mold him and shape him into what a man of God would do. And this particular part of where he had we just read it, Paul was beginning to say that I'm not going to be here much longer, Timothy. I'm going to be leaving. And by that he meant that his time of death was probably very close. They were going to take it. They were going to get rid of this great apostle. And so he was doing all he could to stay with Timothy and help him and encourage him and lift him up and build him up as a young preacher. And oh, our young preachers need that so much. Most of us have come that way, with small congregations, and then build up a little larger and a little larger until finally you get a real congregation and you stay for 30 years and you help that church to grow until we had to have two morning services for we just had a small building. But we looked out and we said, we don't need to waste that money on another building. Let's just meet here twice and then again it's Sunday night. And we did. Paul and Timothy were very special together, and Paul often referred to Timothy as his beloved son. That must have meant so much to Timothy to have this great apostle look down upon him and say, beloved son, or his son in the faith. But you notice how Paul refers to Timothy in verse 11. But you, O man of God. Now just stop there for a moment. What does that mean? Paul is saying to Timothy, but you, O man of God. Not old, but O man of God. A man of God does not belong to the world. A man of God belongs to God. He is possessed by God, governed by God, submission to God. He is surrendered to God. And that's where Timothy was headed. He wanted to do great things for the Lord. While this phrase, man of God, appears to two times in the New Testament, it appears over 70 times in our Old Testament. There was Moses. He was called the man of God. Samuel was called the man of God. Eli and Elisha and David were called men of God. Where are the men of God today? Brothers, where are you? Are you taking that leadership? Are you taking that, what you should do, that man should be up there? Oh, we say we let the women preach now. And so they've turned it around. Where are the men of God today? God's men. That's the kind of men we need, isn't it? It's all right to come to the service, to the building. And it's all right to talk to people and have a lot of fun and joy and stuff and like that. But it's also some seriousness to it, brethren. Or am I wrong? What's happened to us? We can tell better jokes and we can tell better scripture. And that's not good. Three things I believe I want to talk with you about this morning. Three marks of the man of God. A man of God is known first of all by what he flees from. What he gets away from. The Greek word that Paul uses here literally means fugitive, but in a good light. Shun all this. Flee all these things. Run from all these things. When you think of a fugitive, you think of somebody who's constantly on the run, but someone who is always trying to stay one step ahead. When Paul says, O men of God, flee these things, what things are you talking about, Paul? We find our answer in verses 9 and 10. Look at them again. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verses 9 and 10. One of the things that a man of God does not need, but he needs to flee from it, is the love of money. Well, Maynard, what do you got against money? Well, if you give me some, I'll tell you. No, just kidding. You know, that money, I guess because I was brought up in poverty, and that I've been pretty close to that since then. But that's all right. 60 years or more now I've been preaching, and the Lord has always taken care of us. There's always been a way. And we were just sitting down talking about that yesterday afternoon, I believe. Joyce was saying some of the things that you look back over and you wondered, how are we going to meet this? How are we going to meet that? But there was always a way. The Lord has been good to the two of us. We may not have much. We live in a little place. And by the way, we were having a hard time this morning when we got up and to eat and dress, and the lights went out. Well, in those little places that we rent, you don't have a lot of light anyway when the lights are on. But you'd get something on, you'd run outside and take something. Yeah, that's black. And you'd run back in and change. You run out and say, yeah, that tile match that. And then you run back in. I have a hard life, brethren. Feel sorry for me. One of the things that the man of God does, flee from the love of money. He didn't say flee from money, but flee from the love of it. The day you and I were born, we came out of our mother's womb without one solitary thing in our hands, not a dime of money, not a thing of material possessions. And when we leave this world, what? We're not going to take any of it with us, are we? Boy, some people are really going to be sad. There's got to be a way. Got to be. The man of God understands this valuable truth, and therefore he flees from the temptation to waste his life chasing after money. Brethren, how much do I need? How much do you need? Is it this amount, that amount? Or is it, well, maybe just a little bit more. Maybe just a little bit more. Maybe so. But is it worth it? Is it really necessary? The man of God understands the path to riches is filled with many traps and pitfalls that can cause a man to become so preoccupied with the temporal that he loses sight of the eternal. Another thing the man of God flees from is sexual immorality. We see that in the world of today. One of the Christian people of the early days of the church was a man by the name of Augustine. And Augustine had a struggle with sexuality. He was wanting to be a man of God, but he had this problem. And he used to pray. Now listen to this. God, make me pure, but not just yet. Isn't that the way it is with people? I want to do this, and I know it's not the best thing to do, not the right thing to do. So not just yet. Give me a little more time. Many godly men have fallen because they grossly underestimated the power of lust and sexual temptation. You remember a man in the Bible by the name of King David? You know him, don't you? Very well. He's called in the scriptures a man after God's own heart. You've heard of another man in the Bible by the name of Samson. Lake Forest, now we are In our Sunday morning Bible classes, we're using the little Gospel Advocate book, and it was on Samson last week. What a man did, and all the stuff that he ruined. There's an old saying that says, if you play with fire, you will get burned. Well, you knew that. If you and I are to be true men of God, we must flee from sexual endearments to us. A man of God is known by what he flees from. But number two, let's move on down here. A man of God is known by what he follows after. Look at verse 11. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Well, that's a lot, isn't it? You say, well, yeah, but you work on it. A man of God just doesn't flee from the love of money and sexual immorality. He follows after or actively pursues the things of God. It's all right to have a hobby. It's all right to do some things that you've always wanted to do. But there are times that we need to have a time to study the Bible at home. I'm not talking about here in Bible classes and some other activities that you have. I'm talking about at home. What do we do? Do we get our Bibles and do we sit down with them and do we begin to go through them and find out, you know, this is interesting. This is good. I don't know if it's our age. I don't know if it's just the TV I have or what. But honest to goodness, there's nothing to watch. As far as I'm concerned. And if somebody hadn't given me this TV, I don't think I would have ever gone out to buy it. But brethren, the man of God follows after righteousness. He follows after godliness, righteousness. He follows after faith. Do we have those things, men? Do we follow after love? Do we love our wives? Do we love our children? Do we love our grandchildren? Do we love these little ones that run around? That's the one thing that pleases me so much about Lake Forest. We've got a lot of little children running around. Dean Road had a lot of children running around too. Pray for Dean Road. I've spent 4 months there, and I just had to give up. They're looking for somebody to come and preach for them. But I can't do it. I can't do that anymore. But brethren, the man of God can do so much more. He's known by what he flees from and what he follows after. And number three, a man of God is known by what he fights for. Verse 12, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on what? Eternal life, to which you are also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. When you examine the lives of the men of God in the scriptures, you discover that they had a warrior spirit. They were ready to fight. They were men who were ready to defend the truth of God's word. And they didn't want to sit in the back and say, oh, well, I'll let somebody else do it. There are men who are willing to defend the truth of God. They didn't let society dictate to them. They refused to compromise the Word of God under any circumstances. Most of us aren't fighters in the physical sense. And most of us will do anything we can to avoid getting into a fight. But there's one thing that we must be involved in, and that is the good fight of faith. Remember that. The good fight of faith. Men, God has called us to be spiritual warriors, not spiritual wimps, not following along. Rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and sound and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God. The kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and end the night of wrong. Rise up, O men of God. The church for you doth wait. Her strength unequal to the task, rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ. Tread through or where his feet have trod. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O man of God. Men of God, rise up to your work. Help this congregation to grow, to be strong in the faith always, to stand for the truth, and to continue to add members as time goes by. Remember that we have this opportunity. And brethren, if there are those here this morning who perhaps needs to hear the word of God again, who realizes that I need the gospel of Jesus Christ in my life, and I pray that if there is one like that this morning, that you will make that good confession. And if you need to be baptized, that all things are ready. You think about it, if you've wandered away from the Lord and you need to ask for his forgiveness, that he might help us to do better. You think about these things this afternoon, and you come back, I hope, tonight as we look into another thought of God. But if you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation, won't you come while together we stand and while we sing?
All things are ready.